This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers, my sisters, sometimes in life we go through challenges and difficulties to the degree that we begin to lose hope. And that loss of hope makes us doubt our own faith sometimes. People say, I'm a Muslim, I pray, I give charity, I fast in Ramadan, I've been for Hajj, and I do a lot of good, I do so much of good, why am I still suffering? Is that question not a question that comes to our mind sometimes? It does, right? My brothers and sisters, remember something. If you think you're going through difficulties and those difficulties are supposed to make you lose faith, in actual fact, the difficulties and hardships are meant to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just remember this. And the reason why I say this is because you and I know that there were people better than us who went through more challenges than us. I ask you a question and I want you to reply. I know it's late, but don't worry. It's the last lecture of the day. I'm about, inshallah, to end it anyway. So answer this question. If you're awake and alert, I can continue speaking a little bit more, right? If you're not, I need to leave. Who was the most beloved unto Allah? Do I need to go? Who was the most beloved unto Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's what we believe as Muslimin. Jesus, may peace be upon him. Moses, may peace be upon him. Abraham, may peace be upon him. May peace be upon them all. Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nuh alayhi salam. These were the five names mentioned all at once called Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. Those who were close to Allah. They were the ones who were dedicated. They were the ones who worked hard. Those were the names mentioned, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final messenger, the highest of rank according to what we believe. I tell you, look at any one of them and the challenges they went through. And you will see what we have been through collectively is not even a fraction of what they went through. So if my difficulties, and I've had many, and I'm still going through hardship, and I will go through a lot of hardship, people say things, your own health, your own condition, perhaps financially, perhaps socially, perhaps so many other different ways, we will go through challenges, we have, and we will continue to go through them. I promise you, these challenges should never make you lose faith. You need to know, when Allah loves you, He tests you. Those better than us, and I've taken their names, you go through their challenges, you will see. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was born, guess what? He was born an orphan. His father had passed away before the birth, the blessed birth. His mother passed away when he was little, okay? He had one or two incidents as an infant. What happened? Those orphans from amongst us, may Allah bless you, you stand a greater chance to succeed than those who had both parents. Do you know that? That is, if we as a community and society understand it and reach out to the brothers and sisters who are struggling. Subhanallah. Do you know that if you've lost both of your parents, if you take it in your stride, perhaps you are closer to Allah than those who haven't? When you're going through challenges, if you're a person who's a victim of allegations and rumors, wallahi, they spread those about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did it make him lose faith? Not at all. He became stronger in faith. They called him a madman. Sahirun kadhab. They said he's a liar. He is a magician. How many of us have been accused of doing black magic when we know nothing about it? Right? We know nothing about it, but they accuse us. And guess what? They get a man with a big beard and a huge turban that could serve as a bandage for all those in the hospital to come and tell you that, you know what? It was your mother-in-law. She did magic on you. It was your aunt. It was your sister-in-law. It was your father-in-law. And shamelessly, they destroy families upon families with their lies. They did it to the Prophet, peace be upon him. I see people smiling and smirking. You know what I'm talking about, right? Wallahi, it happens. It happens in most societies and communities. You go to a man who claims Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, so he knows the unseen, when the owner of the unseen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did he know? On what grounds did he know? Shaitan came to him and lied in order to destroy a family. Innocent people are accused. That is called losing faith. That is what it is. Losing faith. We want to know who did what. Nobody did anything. It's you. That's what it is. It's shaitan. That's what it is. Perhaps you're dieting a bit too much, so you're seeing stars and hearing voices. Perhaps you might not be exercising enough, so you're unhealthy, so you're not well. Perhaps you're too stressed and you're worried about things for no reason, so you're unwell. It is possible that something might have affected you as well, but there is a method in the sunnah to deal with it. You don't read your dua, you don't read your adhkar, you don't fulfill your salah, you have no connection with the Quran, and you expect protection. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. May Allah grant us true protection. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, no point losing your faith. Don't lose your faith. It doesn't mean you become despondent, number one. And number two is losing your faith by engaging in that which is unacceptable. When you start thinking that someone besides Allah knows the unseen, you have a problem. You have a problem, especially from among those who are around us today. Because wahi and revelation has stopped. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you something, you believe it. Allah told him and Allah gave him that revelation. But with us, tell me, which Jibreel comes to you? La ilaha illallah. You follow what I'm saying? My brothers and sisters, getting back to the original point that I'm making, when things happen to us that we don't like, when we can't find a job, we become despondent. But I'm calling out to Allah and He's not answering. I promise you, if you knew the future, you would know that Allah has a plan for you way better than the plan you have. You want to marry someone and for some reason there is a blockage and a second and a third and a fourth. And you say, I made istikhara and my istikhara was positive. But look at this, it's being blocked from all angles. You don't even know the meaning of the term istikhara. Do you know that? Istikhara, please read the dua and the meaning of that dua. When you read the meaning of the dua, you have said there, oh Allah, if this is not good for me, block it from me. So it's blocked. You didn't say, oh Allah, if this is good for me, let me see a dream where there are green lights. If this is good for me, let me see a beautiful garden in my dream. You never ever spoke about dreams in that dua, not even once. Nearly every one of us thinks that dua of istikhara is such that when you sleep, you will see a dream. It's either green or red, like a traffic light. Allah grant us ease. What if you see an orange? MashaAllah, you've got a problem. You've got a huge problem. Please read the meaning of that dua to know what you're saying. It's not just some habra-kadabra, a'udhu billah. No, not at all. It's actually a beautiful, powerful request to Allah that He gives you. You are saying, oh Allah, if this is good for me, my deen, my future, my dunya, my akhirah, make it easy for me and open the doors and give me barakah. And oh Allah, if this is bad for me, my future, my present, my deen, my dunya, close it for me, block it from me, take it away from me, take me away from it, and make me happy with your decree. So when all the doors begin to close, one after the other, isn't that the answer of your istikhara? That Allah doesn't want it. Why? Every door is closed. Subhanallah. Every door is closed. If one or two doors are a little bit closed, you could knock and open the door. Knock and open the other door. Knock and open the third door. Voila. You might just find your bride there, mashallah. Meaning after three doors, you've opened and you're married. It doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing. But if the doors are locked and sealed, and you're knocking and it's not opening, and you're knocking and it's not opening, and you're knocking harder and it's hurting your knuckles, you know it's about time, subhanAllah. Don't break your hand. May Allah bless you. Allah knows why something won't happen. But it's a heartache. Why? Because you don't know the future. Allah knows the future. Allah says, I saved you. I know the future. I know what they would have been. I know everything. Had you married this person, perhaps two generations down, this would have come and that would have come. We wanted to protect something two generations later, so we didn't allow this to happen. And you busy fighting with Allah. relax. One day when you get to Allah, you can ask Him what the future was, and you can say, oh Allah, I want to see if I had married the person I really wanted to marry, show me what would have happened. He will show it to you. Do you know that? He will show it to you. And we get this from Surah Al-Kahf. I've spoken about it many times in the Quran, where many times when I'm speaking, I've addressed this matter. If you look at the story of Al-Khidr and Musa alayhi salam, it clearly tells you that certain things that were never meant to happen, if they had happened, how they would have panned out, Allah already knew that. So Allah says, if we allowed this to happen, that would have happened as a result, and that result would have been worse than this, so we blocked it from here, so that the result wouldn't be as bad as what could have happened in the future. So the door was blocked. When it was blocked, people get depressed because their faith is weak. Don't lose your faith because something didn't happen the way you wanted it. Thank Allah more because it's happened the way Allah wanted it. You see, you lost a job, you lost another one. You can't find one, you can't find another one. You're applying 10 jobs, 20 jobs, 1 year passes and you didn't get a job. Suddenly, after 4 years, mashallah, you get a job wherein the money you make is more than 4 years of salary had you had to toil. If you had gotten the first job you applied for, 20 quid, la ilaha illallah, Allah grant us ease. It's not even worth laughing at. I see you guys didn't even laugh. You must be thinking, what's that? That's how low the salary was. Peanuts, mashallah. My brothers and sisters, have faith in Allah. Have faith. Allah knows sometimes He keeps you in a condition that you're struggling because He knows if we're going to give you and we're going to give you a little bit much, yes, you'll have luxury, you might have, but you're going to forget Him. You're going to turn away from Him. You're going to go into bad habits, very bad habits. Your marriages will start breaking and so many other things. So Allah says, you know what? For you, I'm going to make sure that you don't get too much because you're going to sit at home and thank Allah. And thank Allah. I know a brother who told me, if I was a millionaire, I would have had 4 wives. I said, no wonder Allah's kept you 1,000 years. Imagine. And the wife is saying, oh Allah, bless us with 1,000,000. I say, if only I could tell her, my dear sister, I wish I could have recorded what your husband just said. You would say, oh Allah, keep us poor. I really don't mind. Oh Allah, we'll eat the same thing every day. Fried eggs and sandwiches. That's it. That's what the sister would say. A lot of them, right? So you don't know what the future holds for you. Sometimes Allah holds back one thing because He knows there's something more important He's giving you. Ultimately, my brothers, my sisters, we start doubting our faith when we don't know Allah. So one of the first steps you need to take is to recognize your Maker. You need to know He is loving, He is compassionate, He is caring, He is the most kind, He is the most forgiving. He knows, He loves us, He knows what we don't know. Subhanallah, trust Him. That is Allah. Ultimately, get to know who is your Maker. He made you. He cares for you. He knows you in person. He knows the challenges you're facing. Just keep going. It's like a marathon. When I was young, at school, we used to have something called cross country. You know, you run for an hour or two, so many miles. There, back at home, we call it kilometers, by the way. So we run for so many kilometers. When you start up and you're fresh and you're okay, and you know, everyone is sort of competing with one another, there comes a time when you just have to get done with it. And you're like, just, oh. And you know, you almost want to faint. And you know, I just got to keep going. I just got to keep going. I just got to get to the finish line. It's no longer about coming first or second. It's just about finishing. In our faith, there are some who have powerful, strong faith. They look so positive all the time that you will never recognize the challenges they face. Many faces, you look at them, they look so happy. But you can read deep down sometimes. You can tell this person's been through so much. It's really refined them because of their faith. And some people, they go through the smallest matter and they're so depressed and gone. Subhanallah. May Allah help us all in our mental health. It is really a challenge. It's something many of us go through and we need help. We don't look down upon people who might be going through some mental health issues. You know, there is so much happening. We need to reach out to people, show our love, concern, care, give them importance and make sure we understand every one of us goes through challenges and issues, difficulties and hardship. We face situations. Nobody would dream what situations we faced. Allah's blessed us that He has actually shown outwardly that which is so beautiful and acceptable. When someone sees you, if they could see the problems you're going through, I don't think they would want to see your face more than anything, starting with mine. Subhanallah. If they knew the challenges I went through, and if they were written all over my face, you wouldn't see my face because it would be covered with all that writing. Can you imagine that? But Allah's blessed us all. Allah says, don't worry, we'll cover that for you. That's your challenge between you and your maker. It's your struggle. The world does not need to know all of that. So you build your relationship with Allah. Turn to prayer.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
O you who believe, seek help through patience and prayer. Patience and prayer. Now we have a problem. Because here comes a guy, or here comes someone in a relationship, halal relationship, where one is being oppressed, one is being abused, one is being wronged, and no one can help that person. And then you go to someone seeking help and they tell you, what do they tell you typically? What do they say? Please can you tell me, typically you go to someone and say, you know, my husband's really harassing me. What's the first thing they say? Yes. Be patient, my sister. Sabr, Allah ma'as sabireen. Don't they say that? Yeah. Be patient. Notice how we're saying my sister. All the brothers are looking at me. If only you knew how my wife stresses me, bro. May Allah grant us ease. It's two-way traffic, right? Bear patience. Yes, patience is up to a certain limit beyond which you have every right to say, listen, I cannot tolerate this anymore and I need your help. I need an end to this. It's correct. You're allowed to do that. Yes, as a last resort. Islam doesn't just say first things happen and suddenly you must break the marriage. Today, that's what a lot of people do. First thing happens. On your honeymoon, you go out and you're, you know, there is a debate about how dim the light should be at night. And in that, talak, talak, talak. What's that, man? Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. That's exactly how people think it is to be said. And that is so sinful. The way I just said it now is so sinful. It is wrong. It is called an extreme bid'ah. It is something that is absolutely wrong. You know, may Allah forgive us. Imagine just shooting someone with 3 bullets and you think you did a good deed. And then you're like, what did I do? Phone the sheikh, tell him I was really angry. I was really, really angry. Angry over what? La ilaha illallah. Allah forgive us. Then we say, I'm losing faith in Allah. Look, I was married and my marriage is broken. But who was it? You're losing faith in Allah because of your deeds. Come on, you did things. You were not patient enough. When we say bear patience, yes, there is a limit to which you will bear patience. But initially, that statement is definitely valid. Those of us who've been through divorce, may Allah protect us all. Those of us who've been through divorce, can I share something with you? It's more difficult to be divorced than to be married at times. If you thought it's going to solve your problems, it actually will open a new can of worms. That doesn't make it prohibited. It's only telling you it's not going to be easy either way. Especially when you have children. You have to be connected to the person who you've had those children with for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. If you don't, if you want to withdraw completely and block and ban, you know what's going to happen? You're still going to fail the test. May Allah help us. I really can't get over those who think they're doing a service to Allah by disallowing the parent, the other parent, even access to his or her own children. May Allah keep guiding us. I'd rather do something that's very difficult for me to do in this world, knowing that I'm not compromising my hereafter, than to do something that I have total control of in this world while giving up my hereafter. May Allah forgive us all. We lose faith because we think with our strength sometimes we can do what we want. I can do what I want. Even if I usurp your wealth, I'm the stronger man. You owe me money. You have the money and you're not giving it to me. And then this person is making dua to Allah and you don't even realize. And the worst part is you're making salah in the first saf. That's the worst part. You're such a practicing sister and you know what you're doing. Or a brother. And then other people are losing faith and it's just because of the action of someone. But Allah knows, my brothers and sisters, it's two ways. When it comes to our own relationships, it's two ways. If it's something between you and Allah, then I would tell you there's only one way out. Bear patience. And keep making dua. Keep trying. Allah's given you the ability, the capacity. Keep going. Allah knows. I know of a sister who was divorced 5 times. 5 times. The last time I asked the brothers, would you ever marry a divorcee? Many of the younger guys said, possibly. But the older people said, no, I wouldn't. My brother, you're really following the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ only married those who were previously married. That's it, besides one. You want to follow a sunnah? Look at the silence. They don't want to follow it. You really want to follow the sunnah? People say, no, I can't. You know what? She's been married before. This one's been widowed. That one's been divorced twice. Go and search the sunnah of the most beloved. The one you claim you love the most. Check what he did. Go and look. People accuse him, oh, billah, of the wrong things. He took care of those who were downtrodden. He looked after those who were broken. Honestly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. May Allah make it easy for those who are divorced to marry. And to marry again by the will of Allah. In a way that the next marriage will be better than the previous one that didn't work. It's not the end of the road. Don't become despondent. It's hard. It's difficult. But Allah will grant you goodness. I was saying I know of a sister divorced 5 times. 5 times. For every finger on one hand, she was divorced. I don't even know you understood that. Okay. But the 6th time, she was so happy, so happy. Do you know what she told me? She says, wallahi, my brother, it was worth it. Subhanallah. Amazing. Did you hear what I just said? It was what? Worth it. But when we're going through the challenge and we don't know the future, we become despondent. We lose our minds. We lose our faith. We start questioning Allah. Allah says, hey, you don't know, man. Just keep walking. You don't know. Keep walking. It's like when you're digging for diamonds, right? When you're digging for diamonds, okay? And you know what? There is a little bit left and you're giving up. And Allah says, hey, just go a little bit more. There's just a few more inches left before you're going to hit the diamond. And you just say, nah, that's it. Allah's given up on me. Allah says, I didn't give up on you. One day, you will see that you gave up. It wasn't me. I actually had it there for you. If you went a few more inches, you would have found it. The problem with us, we give up and there was 1 inch left. La ilaha illallah. You follow what I'm saying? This is why my brothers and sisters, people start doubting their faith. Their faith. They say, Allah's not looking after me. I remember entering a hospital and there was one brother telling me, I'm contemplating changing faith. I said, why? He says, because I'm a Muslim and I'm not getting cured. I said, my brother, I can show you 25 other people in the same faith you want to go into who are telling us that we want to be Muslims because we're not being cured. You follow? It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with your conviction in Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand the plan of Allah? When you're unwell and the doctors have given up, it's supposed to strengthen you in faith. What's the worst thing that could happen? I could die. And if I die, I can go to Jannah. Someone sent me a clip today in the Arabic language. One of the Arabs was asking one of his workers who just came back from Umrah, did you make dua for me? He says, yes, I did. And it's a serious video clip. So this brother says, what dua did you make? He says, I make dua that you die. He says, what? He says, yeah. What dua did you make? I make dua that you die. He says, what do you mean? He says, no, I make dua, you go to Jannah. Now to go to Jannah, you have to die, right? So I said, oh Allah, take this man away. He said, no, Sadiq, don't make dua for me after today. Imagine. I think many of us will be making that dua tonight, right? Oh Allah, grant them Jannah, but now. Allahu Akbar. So, subhanallah, Allah knows what He has in store for you, my brothers, my sisters. Calm down. You need to, I don't know so much, but I have faith in Allah. Even if Allah kept me in hardship, look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot even go through everything, but let's go through a few things, okay? So I told you he was born without a father, meaning his father had already passed away. He lost his mother when he was quite young. His grandfather looked after him. He lost him when he was quite young. His uncle looked after him for several years. He grew up beautifully to be known as a Sadiq al-Amin. He married a woman who was previously married with children, and that was his first wife. Allahu Akbar. Much older today in our own societies and communities. You find a young man wanting to marry a much older woman. The most religious from amongst us will not support it. They won't. I was going to say, put your hands up. Anyway, Allah grant us ease. They won't support it. Why? It's taboo. What will society say? My brothers. What will my cousin say? My brother. If you were a relative of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, you probably would have declined it as well. So please get lost. Astaghfirullah. It's a fact. It's a fact. Wallahi, it's a fact. Phew, I wonder why some of the young guys are smiling. La ilaha illallah. I hope I'm not reading too deep into it. My brothers, my sisters, but it's true. The Prophet ﷺ, then he married, and later on when he was given revelation by the choice and divine wisdom of Allah, the people called him a liar, they called him a magician. They said he's after women, they said he's after money, they said he's after this. Surely they make accusations about you and I? It is an honor. When people tell me, hey, this guy swiped at you, that guy accused you, I say it's an honor. But aren't you going to clarify? Clarify what? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm busy doing whatever I believe is good work. That's all. I don't want to waste my time. It's an honor because the Prophet, peace be upon him, went through much more than what we may be going through. Yes, it's a challenge. It hurts you because you see, I wonder why this is happening. But deep down you know, that's Allah. The only way to success is by facing the challenges. You know, we as believers are meant to be like kites. Kites can only fly higher when the wind is blowing strongly against them. Subhanallah. If I had time, I would explain that to you and you would be amazed. But you can understand it. At least the example. So the Prophet ﷺ, they rejected, they persecuted, they tried hard. He was driven out of Makkatul Mukarramah, his own home. His companions were persecuted. They started with him, war upon war. They tried whatever they tried. He lost his children. He lost his sons, one after the other. All of them in infancy or childhood. How many of us, we lose our children. Nobody can comfort us besides Allah. No matter what people tell you, if you've lost a child, they will not be able to comfort you. The only comforting will come through your relationship with Allah. There's no other way. May Allah grant ease to those from amongst us who've lost their children. The Prophet ﷺ lost all his children in his lifetime besides one. All. Sons and daughters, all of them. He lost them, all of them, in his life besides one. Who was that one? Fatima radiallahu anha, who passed away not too long after the Prophet ﷺ. So, did that make him lose faith? Not at all. It strengthened him. In Ta'if, you know what they did to him. They were harming him physically. How many of us have been physically harmed? You know what he says? The angels came to tell him, we can crush these people. He said, no. I've been sent as a mercy. Oh Allah, guide my people. They don't know what they're doing. That's what he was saying. Guide my people. They don't know what they're doing. When the angels were waiting for him to issue an instruction, he said, oh Allah, guide them. Guide them. What happened? They were guided. Subhanallah, how many of us have struggled to that level? None of us. If you think of the difficulties he went through, every difficulty in the book is there. We went through nothing, and yet we lose faith. This is why the second point, develop your relationship with the seerah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Read up about his life. Read up about the challenges. Read up about what he went through and how he reacted. It will strengthen you. You need to know more about the previous prophets, what they went through as well. Each one of them were harmed and persecuted to a certain extent by their own people, including Jesus, may peace be upon him. Look at what the Romans did to him. Including Moses, may peace be upon him. Look at what the Pharaoh did to him. Ultimately, the victory was for whom? The victory was for those who were on the right path. The victory was for the messengers. Some of those messengers were murdered. They were murdered. Do you know what? I told you earlier, what's the worst thing that could happen? If I were to die, I have hope and conviction that by the mercy of Allah, I'll go to Jannah. I haven't lost a thing. Not a thing. My family might miss me for a little while. You know, subhanAllah. I always tell the guys, don't worry. He says, what will happen to my wife? I say, well, I think she'll get a better husband than you. Allah forgive us. It has happened. I've seen people who pass away and they say, I'll never marry anyone besides the man I was married to. I don't want to think of another man. And you know what? A year later, she's married happily, more happy. You meet her, she says, wow, he's better than the other guy. I say, astaghfirullah, don't even say that. But there's nothing astaghfirullah about it. It's okay. La ilaha illallah. It's like the one brother is asking the one, his wife. He says, you know what? If I die, what will you do? She says, well, I'll just live with my sister. Is that a good answer? Good answer. And then she looks at him and says, well, what will you do? He says, I'll also just live with your sister. May Allah grant us goodness. You see, the men are too sharp, right? The men are too sharp. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness, contentment and goodness. Allah open our doors. My brothers and sisters, ultimately we have to return to Allah. Everything that you want in this world, you're going to be leaving behind. If Allah gave you every dua that you made for anything in this world, whether it's a job or whether it's health or whether it's wealth or whatever it is, everything in this world that you're asking for, you're going to leave it behind, even if Allah answered all your duas. Do you think of that? The only duas that you're going to get for the hereafter are the ones you're going to carry with you. The only duas that you are going to carry with you are those you've made for the hereafter. So keep asking Allah, oh Allah, let the hereafter be better than this. Grant me Jannah. My patience, I know you're watching, I know you're seeing. People who are terminally ill, when we need to talk to them, we need to do two things for them. We need to do two things. One is give them hope that they will be cured. And two is prepare them, if they are not cured, to pass away and look forward to meeting with Allah and to Jannatul Firdaus. What's the difference? It's two good things. Either this, which is a good thing to be cured, or that, which is an even better thing, but it seems temporarily through the mind of a human being that it's actually going to be a bad thing, but there's no way out of it. You're going to be going, so you don't know how you're going. If Allah chose it, alhamdulillah. If you had a prolonged illness, that was a favor of Allah. He gave you a chance to get closer to Him, to make peace with Him, to communicate with Him, talk to Him, tell Him I'm coming, and oh Allah, you made me, I'm going to return to you. Please have mercy on me when I return to you. I have no hope, nothing in anyone or anything besides you. You pass away in that condition. Do you really think the most merciful, most compassionate, most kind, most forgiving is actually going to harm you and punish you? Not at all. Not at all. Have faith. But if you're given cure, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. Sometimes if Allah gives us cure, we go back to our bad ways and habits. I was saying, when a person goes from pillar to post and cannot find a doctor to help them in their condition, and the doctor says there's no hope, sometimes that's the only time they've turned to Allah in their lives. Wasn't that a blessing? Any negativity that brings you closer to Allah is actually positive. And anything that seems positive to you, if it takes you away from Allah, it was the most negative thing that could have happened to you. May Allah bless every one of us and grant us strength in our faith. I've really enjoyed my time here. I hope the last 35 minutes were packed with a little bit of food for thought by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah to help us clear the doubts that sometimes shaitan tries to create within us. I told you it won't be cleared unless you develop a relationship with Allah. You understand what you're supposed to be doing in terms of your connection, even with the Messenger, peace be upon him, and the rest of mankind. I end off with one short reminder, and that is, make life easy for others, Allah will make life easy for you. Remember that. Make life easy for others, Allah will make life easy for you. Make life easy for others, and Allah will make life easy for you. Be upright, and Allah will grant you success in this world and the next. بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ